Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another podcast from Scanlane Media. I'm Six Datmar.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle.
And I'm Kyrie Page.
And we're here because that's a Shen mood. And now you get the like the 50s sitcom music or something.
Well, we can edit that in later.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry, it's taken care of. So, this is a new, presumably three podcast series that will take a million years. Don't expect these to be super timely, but we're playing the Shenmue games.
Or more accurately, I'm watching Jen play the Shenmue games, and I'm just a observer.
I mean, as long as you're watching someone who's having a good time with them, I feel like it's interesting because I have watched some Let's Plays of this game before, and if you don't approach this game on its own terms, you can make yourself miserable.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the Giant Bomb Let's Play of it back when... I think it was up to the lead-up to Shenmue 3, and they were playing a little bit of it, and they were having an absolutely miserable time.
Yeah, it turns out if you play Shenmue, a game about asking people questions, mostly, and then don't listen to the answers, you have a bad time.
It's also, like, I feel like a game that is not necessarily conducive to a LP environment.
No, definitely not.
Because there's not always stuff going on, especially in Shenmue 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and that's... really, God, oh, I like this game a lot.
I do too.
I was really surprised by it. Like, I guess I went back to this before you did, right, Jen?
Yes, I think that was the case, but also I finished before you did.
Sure, I got distracted, you know me. I thought maybe you picked it up because I was playing it. Did you pick it up for a different reason?
I picked it up because when you mentioned you had plans to play Shenmue 3, I ended up asking for it for Christmas so I could play along, and then Kyrie got it for me, and after that I saw Shenmue 1 and 2 on sale for pretty steep, like $10. As a package on PSN shortly after that, so I ended up buying that package and making Shenmue the first game I played in 2020.
There you go. So I played it because basically just it was free on Game Pass on Xbox, and I was like, sure, I'm curious. I've tried a lot of games on Game Pass that way. I like Game Pass for that. And poking at it, I was like, you know, when you take, again, this game, when you approach this game and go along with what it's trying to do, it really is something special. And I even think that, like, people talk about how Yakuza is, like, the contemporary, like, evolution of Shenmue. And it's not that they're wrong, but it's very different because... I don't know, it's kind of like saying that like Burnout is the continuation of Gran Turismo. It's like, really? I mean, I guess I understand what you're saying, but no. Because, and you can correct me on this, but the thing that I find really, really incredible about Shenmue, and the thing it nails so hard, and we'll talk more about this, of course, but it is basically a game where this kid goes home and he is sort of thrust into a kung fu revenge story. Like, the first scene is just like pure, like straight out of a kung fu action movie. And then that scene ends and he's still in the real world. And he's like, shit, how do I do the kung fu action movie thing?
Yeah, I noticed that, like, one of the first things you can do is an attempt to call the police and... you get an achievement for a reasonable response. And it's like Ryo instantly shoots that down and says, like, no, I'll find my father's killer on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then what proceeds is, I mean, even if you are doing, if you're doing it wrong, it takes like five times as long. But even if you're doing it right, there's still a bunch of you like walking around your like your neighborhoods and like the downtown of the shop where you live, and you know a guy's like, "Hey, Ryo, it's great to see you. I've got a great pair of jeans. Would you like some jeans?" And you're like, "Have you seen any thugs?" And he's like, "What? That's a really weird question, my guy.
Ryo, like, why are you asking such things?"
And that's just like, it's so special because it is, I don't know, I don't want to cut to the quick too much, but like Shenmue's supposed to be like 16 games, right? Or something?
16 parts, but it's distributed in a very bizarre way. Like, there's technically a one chapter or so manga that exists between 1 and 2, and Yu Suzuki was like, "Oh yeah, that counts as one of the parts in this." And since 1 kind of didn't do as much as either Sega or Yu Suzuki were hoping for, he since started combining parts together in subsequent entries. But he still, like last time he was asked about this, he was asked about how much Shenmue 3 covered, he pointed to a water bottle that was half empty. It was like, around this point, I'd say. Well, a little bit less than this point, actually. So, yeah, it's so supposed to be massive in terms of what they want to get to the end of, I guess.
So they're never going to get there.
At this rate, certainly not.
And I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing more Shenmue than this story kind of being stuck in purgatory. Like, whatever cliffhanger this game, this series leaves off on is kind of fine, because that's the game. Like, you go, you know, you get your ticket to go to Hong Kong, and you go to pick it up from the shady place, and they, for some reason, are like, "Wait, you need to pick it up from the arcade instead." And you're like, "Okay, that's weird." And, like, a creepy guy eats the ticket and then tries to punch you out. And you're like, "Okay, I guess I have to go work at the docks for a week."
Yep.
It's just, like, the setbacks are what this game is about.
Bizarre setbacks, and setbacks nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And also some just really, really mundane setbacks, right?
Like, well, like, one of them is Ryo has to get the money to, like, afford a ticket to Hong Kong in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And initially his grandmother, I think that's his grandmother, is super cool with him being like going on a trip. She's like, "Oh yeah, you should probably get out and explore for a bit." And then it gets out because of Fuku-san that he's buying this for revenge, and she's like, "Oh fuck that, not giving you the money."
Yeah, I think she's just the housekeeper. I don't think there's any technical biological relation, but she's been the housekeeper for long enough that she's like family.
She certainly treats Ryo like family with his like daily allowance that you get as you leave the house.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Which also, I don't know, like, it's $5. That's so good. It's nothing. And also, if I do have one beef, one thing that I feel like Yakuza did better, for instance, is that there's not really very much to do with the money.
Yeah, like, the most you can do with the money is, like, you can go shopping, but there's no, like, need to, like, really go shopping except for cassette tapes. And that's, mm-hmm. like, for completionists, like, purposes or something like that.
Mm-hmm. There's there's a few moments where, well, there was one moment that I actually saw where you had to buy something from the shop and it actually mattered. But overall, it's you either get novelty cassettes, you get food to feed the cat with, you get the flashlight for that one scene in your father's basement, and that's about it.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's potential in, like, I don't know, I feel like, for example, Yakuza does this stuff better because, I mean, of course you can buy weapons, which I think this game is not. I think you shouldn't be able to buy weapons in this game. That makes sense. But, like, a big part of Yakuza is, like, just going on like a foodie tour of your town, and like every time I talked to people, they were like, "Oh, you should try Tao San special," and I was like, "I'd fucking love to." Ryo won't do it.
Ryo's too focused on like finding his father's killer to like enjoy the local life.
Mm-hmm. And I do kind of wish, like, I don't know, it would make things more relatable, and I think it would fit into the game really well. If, I mean, he's a teenager, what if he had the distractions, right, where he's like, I need to go buy a ticket to go to Hong Kong, so I need to save money. But he's right, those jeans really would look good on me.
or just being like, you know, Tom's a good dude, I should really get a hot dog from him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom is a really good... Okay, so I played the game in Japanese, you played it in English, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Tell me about Tom in English.
Hey, Ryo, you want a hot dog?
It's trying to go for a Jamaican accent kind of thing, and it comes across kind of offensive, but it's one of those things where he was also very earnest about helping us out, so he was still very... He was still someone that I really got attached to. But it was also funny, whenever I asked him about the gang at the docks, he's like, "You're asking me about a gang? What are you up to? Oh no!
Ryo, don't go getting into trouble."
So I do really, I, of course, am here to say that the Japanese voice acting is great, and I really enjoy it. But the thing that really makes it is the number of foreigners in this game. Because most of them don't speak full Japanese, right? They speak a mix of English and Japanese. So, for example, one of the things I heard several times, because I, like most players, I think, I would go to Tom with problems that the guy did not need to go to Tom for. And so Tom, you know, couldn't necessarily help me. And so the dialogue would be like, "Tomu, daijoubu desu ka?" And he'd be, "Tom wa always fine des." And I'm like, "Hell yeah, Tom."
Tom is always fine.
Did that
hold for Honey as well?
Honey's Japanese was better. She was like a little stilted, but she had proper Japanese. But like clearly a second language. Just, you know, she didn't have the same mix. But like also, you know, like the sailors and a lot of the mad angels would just be like, "Hey, boy!" it's extremely, extremely good. I am a huge fan of the Japanese voice acting, and I understand why people have affection for the English. I don't know, that's not the experience I am personally trying to have. Especially because, hey, what if I don't want Tom to be a racist caricature? He's just a nice guy. He's just like, "Hey, you need a job? I can get you a job." And you're like, "That's nice of you, Tom, but I kind of need to work at the harbor properly."
Yeah, that's fair. It definitely seems like for a better overall experience, you should probably play in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. It is also one of those things where they just use the, like, they just use the English lines as subtitles. If you know a little Japanese, you can sometimes eke out a little more meaning from exchanges that are otherwise a little bit incomprehensible.
Was there any exchange that, like, stood out to you that was significantly different?
Generally, no. Generally, it's just sort of like, it's stuff where if you'd heard it in English, you'd be like, "What are you talking about?" And then you hear it Japanese, and you sort of do the light translation in your head. I'm certainly not fluent. And you're like, "Oh, I see," like, it's very Google Translate, right? Where you're like, "Oh, literally speaking, like, those words can mean what you've written here, but, like, there's really a different meaning going on here." So, I don't think it was ever, like, super dramatic, but it was a lot of stuff where people would just, like, a lot of the conversations with, Goro, with the, like, the, delinquent at the docks.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking love Goro.
It was like, reading the subtitles were fucking useless. he was just speaking nonsense in English, I think.
Yeah, his English voice acting is maybe the most overdramatic out of everyone, because, "Hey, bro!" Yeah, he's constantly talking like that. And the first time I heard him, I was like, is he being sarcastic every time he talks to us? But no, that's just the voice actor's delivery there.
Yeah, in Japanese, he's very much just doing, like, classic, like, you know, delinquent talk. And there are points where I feel like he makes exclamations that in English are just completely, like, I don't know, like, not connected to the sentence before. But then, like, he's emphasizing something, or, you know, it comes across a little more clearly. I don't think it at any point really makes a difference for, like, the plot or anything. But I think some characters come across a little more clearly.
Mm-hmm. Goro is pretty great, though.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Like, initially, I was, like, I didn't know how I felt about him, but then it was just like, oh, he's just incredibly earnest, like, the whole time. And I certainly took a liking to him. Also, his ridiculous music that plays.
Mm-hmm.
The MIDI, like, piano that, like, accompanies everything he says.
Yeah, the use of music in this game is surprisingly good. I don't know, I can't imagine I'll be listening to this, like, outside of the game, right? I'm not gonna, like, put this on Spotify when I go for, a run or something. But, like, there's a real energy and lightheartedness to the soundtrack that really, like, especially, I think it's most dramatic to me with the dock stuff. The harbor stuff, because the music while driving the forklift made me not mind that.
It is pretty catchy music.
And it's just sort of like, I don't know, it makes it clear to me, like, oh no, Ryo's not, like, bitter about his job. He's just sort of doing his job. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's nice and peppy.
Yeah, he's... Although, there was, like, at one point, Jen, you mentioned that, like, the voice acting for who's the character? Who's, I think it's Mark, who's, like,
sure,
your main
sure.
contact.
Yeah.
There's a real Miami mm-hmm. connection vibe to the way he delivers his lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He
feels sorry, like he's just a regular guy surrounded by everyone else who's a character.
It's interesting because I feel like you still get that in Japanese, and in Japanese, it's like he's clearly an American, and he's, like, you get the sense of how he's talking to a mix of foreigners, and, like, especially at the forklift race, when he's talking to everyone, he says everything twice, basically, once in English, once in Japanese. He's just sort of mixing it, like, everyone, daijoubu, you ready? And you're like, okay, got it. He's used to dealing with, you know, some people who are on either side of this language divide. But he just seems like a good dude.
Yeah, I do feel like that whole doc sequence went on like a day or two longer than I'd like. At some point I felt like I get what they were going for, and I was just ready to move on and see what was next. But yeah, I found myself surprisingly adept at that forklift game, and I feel like it's pretty generous with the timing, so it's pretty easy to clear your quota every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely think the forklift stuff is pretty generous. I do. The race I didn't love as much because those guys drive like assholes. But otherwise...
And you can't honk at them to get them out of the way.
It's fucking basic racing rules. Like, you have any proper racing, if someone's faster than you, you move aside. Get out of the goddamn way.
I do like how if you play as, I think it's Ryo is in one of the Sega racing games.
Oh yeah, he's in Sonic Racing Transformed.
Yeah, he rides around in a forklift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had to.
Yeah, they had no other vehicle. I mean, there was that super dope, like, super ridiculous sequence in which you are saving your girlfriend. Well, generously.
Not my girlfriend, God.
Yeah, generously. Person who I generously refer to as Ryo's girlfriend. You do ride it on a motorcycle to get to her.
Mm-hmm. Which actually kind of brings up, there's a really, like, to me at least, there's a really moving and kind of sad willingness to just, like, be like, well, no, we're moving on. Stuff is getting left behind, right? Like, I double-checked because I was not sure about Ine-san, and yeah, she is the housekeeper. She's not in 2 or 3. She's just not, because why would she be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this, they set up a whole cast of characters. They had set up this setting. They set up, like, the forklifts and everything. And basically none of this is going to be in Shenmue 2. Shenmue, yep. Shenmue 2 is just going to leave all of this behind because that's how Ryo's story is going. And that's not just, like, how nice of them to create new assets. It's also, like, kind of a point of the game. Like, you've got that scene at the end with Nozomi and Ryo, where Nozomi's like, Ryo's being a classic oblivious, you know, Japanese teenage boy, but she's like, I clearly had a crush on you, and if we had an extra, like, year or two, we could have made this into something, but we gotta go our separate ways at this point.
Yeah, she announces that she's going to Canada, and is clearly moving on because Ryo wasn't, like, receptive to her. Because,
well, I mean, it's her family's going to Canada, so she has to go with. I don't know that there's, like, a level of, like, if only you'd got taken the hint. It's just sort of like, yeah, life divides people.
Yeah, though also, there's plenty of moments in the game where people are straight up coming to him and they're like, you know, Nozomi was crying the other day. I think that you're worrying her, and Ryo's just like, okay, that sounds upsetting, but then he doesn't do anything about it.
I will say his voice work is a little more contrite than the Japanese. But yeah, it doesn't change the fact that he never really, I would keep trying to drop by and talk to her, and, you know, that's just not, I think it's fair enough that I can't force Ryo to do something he wouldn't actually do, because she'd just be like, hey, how, are you doing okay? And he'd be like, yep. And like,
looking okay, for my father's murderer, but everything's okay.
Yeah, there's something about the way that this is structured where, obviously this was a groundbreaking game in terms of the way that it introduced an open world, people with schedules and all that sort of stuff, but ultimately, I think it's kind of a story about a character who's on a video game quest and everyone else who's just living their lives. Like,
totally.
Occasionally, you'll have characters that are basically fitting the action movie or game archetype, like the person, the wise master that's living out in one of the garage, the warehouses, or having specific gangsters to fight and things like that. But overall, it's things like, oh, by the way, while you're doing this, someone comes up to you, they're like, you know, you entrance exams are starting soon, and I haven't seen you in any of the study sessions. And Ryo's just like, whatever. And it's clear every time you interact with someone who isn't steeped in your bullshit. Well, even if you are talking to people, like, the master that you end up meeting Master Chen is like, you know, this revenge is revenge is pointless. You're too young for this. Don't get mixed up in any of this. And he only ends up following through once it becomes very clear to him that Ryo will not be deterred.
Mm-hmm. And that basically he owes Ryo a favor anyway. He's like, okay, I guess I can make this work. It's a bad idea. I still think this is a bad idea. Bye. Have fun in Hong Kong.
And, like, literally everyone in Ryo's life is so nice to him, and they want the best for him, and your interactions with them over the course of the game is them slowly and sadly realizing that you're kind of just going to throw your life away. Like, mm-hmm. Like, even Tom's like, I'm going to be moving out after this, and I'll probably never see you again. I am still pretty worried about you, but I'm thankful for the time that we shared together.
That is a real Kingdom Hearts 2 Riku versus Kairi moment, where, at least in Japanese, he's definitely more upset about Tom leaving than about Nozomi.
Oh, that is absolutely true in the English as well. Like, he finally buys a hot dog from Tom, which he can't do the whole game except for that one time, and it's off camera. But, like, he's wistfully looking up at at an airplane flying over by, and it's like, Tom, my best friend. And it's like when it comes to Nozomi,
you're leaving?
When it comes to Nozomi, it's sort of like, oh, okay. But Tom, though, Tom was a real straight shooter.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Ryo's gay. Who can say?
He's either gay or oblivious.
There's
well,
plenty
we know
of evidence.
He's oblivious. He could.
Yeah. Like, especially, he gets invited to the U Arcade twice for business dealings, and both times they're ambushes. And they happen spaced out often enough to be like, you know, Ryo, you need to stop taking these invitations to the arcade, because they're either going to ambush you on your way over there, or ambush you inside of there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, there's the dude that, like, I think tries to stab Ryo, like, when you are in the tattoo parlor, and it's like, you make a tentative agreement to, like, meet up the next day, and it's like, Ryo, there is no way he's gonna honor that, and he definitely doesn't, because he tries to ambush and kill you.
Yeah, there's some... some good stuff like that. I don't know. He's honest to a fault, and I think it kind of is telling, like, it's one of the things I do like. I do think Shenmue is kind of a sad story, because you can tell through the interactions he has with people, both, like, the people he already knows, and also the people new to his life, that he's just a good kid. And, like, this revenge plot really is ruining his life, not just because, like, maybe he'll get killed, or maybe he'll get his revenge and it will be empty, but also, like, he's got a good thing going, and he's just throwing it all away.
Yeah, and by the time he boards the ship and the narration starts, which also seems to be caught up in the same world that he is, almost like, if you wanted to get really meta about it, you could say it's his own internal narrative about the journey he's undertaking. It's, it's one of the situations where he's fully detached himself from all of his safety nets and the people that would look out for him. Like, even Master Shen's son ends up having his foot crushed by a rebar, so he can't end up going to China with him. So he's on his own, going to a place where he doesn't exactly know the language, and hoping for the best, but because he's so set on this working, he's convinced that that'll be enough.
And from things I've heard, he immediately goes broke again.
Well, that's the first thing you do whenever you end up in a new country, is you spend all the initial money that you have, and then you don't know where to go from there.
Sure, totally.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's just what happens.
It is. I will say, though, it is, like, I would like an HD remaster of these games just to iron out some kinks. Time management's the fucking worst.
Yeah, I wished for a fast forward button so often while I was playing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they clearly give you, I think they give you one in Shenmue 2 and 3. But this first...
I know they do in 3. I don't know about 2, but...
I have heard things about 2, but, like... No, it was very funny. Like, there were times in which we would sit down to play this game together, and it's like, oh, wait, we're in the boring part where we have to wait, like, 20 real-world minutes for, like, a certain event to, like, happen.
Yeah, that in-game clock is slow, huh?
And you can only kill time by playing Space Harrier so many times.
I didn't play Space Harrier once. Whenever I needed to kill time, I I role-played a very sad Ryo, where I stood across the street staring at my destination, set down the controller, and went to go do something else.
It took me way too long to realize that the U Arcade is named that because it's all games that Yu Suzuki made that are inside of it.
See, I never played any games in there, so I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they had Super Hang-On and Space Harrier. I think they had one other thing.
They had darts.
Oh yeah, they had darts, and then also the weird punching minigame that you see in, like, that was one of the first images I saw from Shenmue 3, like the image of a boxer and the pads that you could punch to fight the boxer.
Hmm. But yeah.
Did Yu Suzuki develop darts?
Yu Suzuki invented darts.
Wow. Confirmed. What a great man.
What a great guy. Made the Virtua Fighter series. Made Shenmue.
Made Outrun. And, yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah. That... I don't know. Like, there was something, like, oddly charming about having to, like, kill time in this game. Like, it was a chore, and it was annoying, but it was like, oh, you have to wait for the bus like you would in real life in order to go to mm-hmm. your job or in order to apply for a job at the docks. And it was very clearly like the first game is absolutely a first of its kind, and it has all the things that would eventually be ironed out in later open world adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish I was playing this on Dreamcast so I could mess around with the extra fourth disc and put weird things on the VMU, like 3 frames of animation of someone's face from the game or whatever.
Well, we never got that disc, so...
Yeah. Tragedy.
Tragic.
I will note... not that much fighting in this game, which is good, because the fighting is not very good.
Oh, God, that 70-man Kumite at the end was a fucking nightmare.
Like, yeah.
It took Jen and I, like, a couple of tries. Like, it wasn't that hard, but it was just, like, it was a slog.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they kind of teach you how to fight, but not really. Like, what they don't tell you that they should put some time into telling you is that you have to practice those moves pretty regularly to get them to a point where they do enough damage. And also, you should be scouting out some of the other moves by buying scrolls in the antique shop and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ended up doing that just because I didn't know what the hell else to do with my money. And I was glad that I did, because there's some good shit. And... well, good shit as in useful shit, let's say. And yeah, those fights were pretty grueling.
Yeah, like, the fights themselves are not the strongest part of Shenmue, but in a way it feels appropriate that they feel like... that they feel so weird and rushed and... not rushed. Well, I guess the word I'm looking for is that it feels like uncoordinated and messy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is unintentional, because they were clearly trying to make a good fighting system and they didn't.
Sure. I will say, though, I don't know, like, I enjoy Shenmue or Yakuza's fighting system more, but I do appreciate that fighting is really not the focus of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Until the very end, where of course they go hog wild with it. But I like the balance this game hits a lot more, where it's more just asking your neighbors bizarre questions, bizarre, sometimes racist questions.
Do you know of any Chinese people? It's like, whoa, Ryo!
Yeah, there's a number of times where people are rightfully going, hey, Ryo, that's kind of a fucked up thing to ask someone.
Or just, like, utter confusion of, like, no, I don't know any, like, I don't know, go to, like, the barbershop or something. Go somewhere else. I don't know the answer mm-hmm. to your question. Mm-hmm. Where do sailors hang out? I don't know.
That one, gosh, for being such a meme, that one took, like, 5 minutes to solve.
Yeah, it was the quickest. I think it's the meme because it's much less comfortable to be... You can't really do anything with the whole, do you know any Chinese people? Because that's just...
That's true. And also, it just, I don't know, there's so many people, at least in the English, because I've seen some parts of that, sound so genuinely baffled. Sailors? Like, yeah, yes, same.
Yeah, there's also the delinquent kids that you can go up to. Like the there's a group of teenage girls like hanging out just outside the city, and anytime you ask them anything, they're just like, "Huh? Kiss off, twit." And just interacting in the most aggressive way possible, clipping their microphones.
Works a little better in Japanese, I'll say.
I do.
There's fewer kiss-offs.
Fewer kiss-offs, yeah. I did enjoy that particular translation, because it's like, you can't sound badass saying, like, kiss-off.
Mm-hmm. No, that's... Unless you're talking about the award-winning Pornhub parody of Face Off, Kiss Off.
Can I just say how wild it is that the game's intro has this character, the Ryo's dreams have this character, and the very end has an image of a character, and aside from that, she never appears anywhere else. Like, she's just... If there was never another game... outside of Shenmue 1, her existence would just be this person that occasionally appears with a hawk.
So here's a question I have. There was a girl who looked a fucking lot like her fishing at the harbor. But if you tried to talk to her, she's just like, "I'm busy." I guess it was just a similar model.
I think it was just a similar model. Because, like, that character plays a very significant role in, from what I recall, Shenmue 2, and definitely a significant role in Shenmue 3.
Mm-hmm.
The girl that Jen's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought it was weird. It was just like, oh, that girl looks really similar. But, yeah, even the name Shenmue doesn't make sense in this game. Yeah. It will in Shenmue 2.
Oh, wait, it does?
Uh-huh. They explain it.
Okay, great.
At, like, the end of Shenmue 2, they explain why it's called Shenmue.
Well, they did make 1 and 2 somewhat at the same time, so I guess since they already had this much astounding amount of money poured into this, they were already counting their chickens, so they're like, "Oh yeah, it'll be fine. Just explain the name in 2."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shenmue 1. Fun fact: do you know how much Shenmue 1 apparently cost?
No.
$47 million.
That's a lot of money. That's still that is still a lot of money to develop a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they used it in, like, places I like, but still, like, really weird places. Like, oh, you could open all the drawers in your house. Okay.
Yeah, and that's...
Or you can use the capsule machine, and then no matter what you get, Ryo will go, "This is cool."
Yeah, and, they use it for, like, unique mechanics for just about everything from darts throwing to, all of the forklift stuff. Like, that's the thing that you do a bunch, but it's only in one section, and you never drive anything otherwise. Well, I guess you drive your motorcycle in that one situation, but that's also not anywhere else.
How much you want to...
Also, not your motorcycle.
Yeah, it's some dude's motorcycle. Also, how much you want to bet, like, the forklift racing was, like, there was, like, a note passed to Yu Suzuki. It was like, "Look, you're going to have to make... Like, people don't want to just work for 5 days. You got to do something else to entertain them." It's like, "Okay, I'll fucking show you."
It could be, but also, I do really like the way it's incorporated in the story. Where, like, if you talk to your coworkers on, like, lunch break and stuff, you're like, "How's it going?" And they're like, "You know, it's a job. But hey, we got the race tomorrow. That's always that to look forward to." And it's like... The weird, sad thing that lightens up the lives of these, you know, working class people, I actually think it's really awesome in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like many other jobs, you have people that are like, so what are you planning on doing after this? And they give you their whole... They give you their whole dream or plan once they save up enough money from this place. And, yeah, there's a decent amount of humanity given to pretty much everyone that, speaks to you for more than 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is just a... There is, like you said, a humanity in every almost every character in this game. And that's something that's pretty astounding. And it's still like, yeah, it's like an older game, but it's like the idea that every character has a voice line in some way is pretty remarkable, especially considering that even in the Yakuza games, not every character has a voice line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're making that comparison, like, I'm not saying, like, necessarily everyone should have voice lines, but it's pretty remarkable that everyone in Shenmue has, like, voiced dialogue.
For sure. Yeah, the game is... As I say, it was expensive for a reason, and sometimes you're like, I don't know about this use of money, but I guess I am appreciating it in this moment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you can see why Sega entrusted all of this to this person and his team, because, like, throughout the 80s, he was one of their biggest hit makers out there. Like, Outrun was a massive success, as were the various other racing games that he did, and Virtua Fighter got quite the audience too, so giving him, like, you have this new console and you need to make it a massive success, so of course you're like, okay, we're going to take a real gamble here and let this person make his absolutely buck wild idea for a game come true.
You know, there was going to be a Shenmue Online.
There was, wasn't there? And it was supposed to fill in some of the gaps that, like, were not fulfilled by Shenmue 1 and 2.
Yeah, no, Yu Suzuki wanted there to be a game where you cooperatively got stuck in dead-end jobs forever.
He also
Little did
released...
he know, capitalism already made it.
Yeah, like, also in the mid-2010s, he also released a mobile game that only lasted for like a year or two. And the hopes was basically like, okay. So the most ridiculous thing about that mobile game is he was like, Mafia Wars is pretty big right now. What if we made a Mafia Wars game, but it was Shenmue, and it retold Shenmue 1 and 2, and maybe that would get people interested into Shenmue 3?
I mean, hey, whatever you gotta do, man.
Yeah.
Kickstarter, it turns out, but...
So do you know anything about Shenmue 2 besides them explaining what Shenmue even means?
I know some things, yeah.
I guess I was just, this is me asking, like, where do you think the story goes from here?
At least as far as Shenmue 2, my understanding, the things I know and the things I suspect are, Ryo gets to Hong Kong and things don't go very smoothly. And so then Ryo is basically, like, trying to track down the person who sent the letter in 1.
Okay.
And then he encounters the girl of his destiny. And that's basically what I know. Also, I know, would you like to play a game of Lucky Hit? But everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. Would you like to play a game of Lucky Hit?
I would, actually. That sounds great.
Is 2 when they're going to introduce needing to eat food to keep your stamina up? Because that's the thing I'm looking forward to the least in this Shenmue journey we're taking.
What else are you going to do with your time, Jen?
You gotta eat, Jen. You gotta sustain your meat bag of a body.
You're gonna do the same exact things where you're gonna be standing and waiting for, you know, like, you know, a store to open for in the real world 40 minutes. You might as well take a second to open up your menu and eat a hot dog. Make Tom proud. Yeah, I don't know. I know Shenmue 3, you're in a small rural Chinese village with the girl of your destiny, and I think you're still trying to track down Lan Di. Not working very quick there, Ryo.
How great is it that, like, we would have heard if Shenmue 3 was the conclusion to the story, because it's like, how gutsy is it of Yu Suzuki to be like, okay, I have this incredible opportunity to continue the game that I feel the most passionate about, and I still won't finish it. Shenmue really is about the journey rather than the destination.
Yeah, I think it's like a combination of guts and also just being like, I think he, you know, so I'm sure since Sony helped make it happen, I'm sure they had the conversation, and he was like, look, I literally can't do it. There's too much story to tell. I literally can't do it. I can either make this game or I cannot. I can't make this game the rest of the series.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I, on some level, hope that there is a Shenmue 4. Because I am surprised how much I enjoyed Shenmue 1. I didn't know... I didn't realize I would be so excited to get home and be like, or for Jen to get home and be like, hey, let's play Shenmue. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to Shenmue 2.
Well, and we will definitely be back. I think we'll probably get through all three this year. I don't want to promise anything because, listen, life comes at you real fast sometimes. But I suspect we'll get through all three Shenmues this year, and we'll have all three of our That's a Shenmues. But for this episode, I think we're about ready to wrap up. Any other closing thoughts from folks?
I want to apologize to anyone who's heard me shit talk Shenmue before without having actually played it. Like,
yeah, that's a good, yeah. I, right up until the point where I played this myself, you know, I just thoughtlessly agreed with the overall conclusion of the industry that Shenmue was like a joke of a game, and it's incredible. That's doing it a huge disservice.
It is both. It is a deeply flawed game, but it is also clearly a deeply personal game, and I have a lot of respect for that. Mm-hmm. And that's a Shen mood.
That is a Shen mood. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us on step one of this 16-part journey. We're going to have podcasts for every single chapter of Shenmue. That will mean that most of the chapters are podcasts where we literally don't say anything. This is a joke. I'm making a joke. We're not going to do that.
Okay,
great. But, Kyrie.
Yes?
This is the designated promotion area.
Follow my... Oh, sorry, there was a dog barking at the same time.
My dogs are barking. You're sounding your feet are tired, huh?
Yep, clearly. Follow me on Twitter, Kyrie A. Page on Twitter. Follow me there. And I'm posting more. That's certainly a thing.
I'm glad you didn't say whether it was good or bad, because who can say?
Who can't say? Who can't say on this hell of a website?
And
what about you, General?
I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. We are going to be recording our next novel not new soon on 80 Days, and you can find... that podcast and all of our previous episodes of that podcast at readinggames.online. And that about does it for me.
All right. Well, I am Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar, SixDetmar. And yeah, scanlinemedia.com, patreon.com/scanlinemedia. You know the deal. Check those things out. Check out our work. But, you know, I just say peace out. I'm not gonna do any clever Shenmue, like let's get sweaty or some shit. Just you know, catch you later.
Later.
See ya.